Okay, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, April 11th, 2019. Ms. Tribbency, would you please call roll?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Councilmember Barker?
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Councilmember Phillips?
Here.
And Councilmember Michelson is excused.
Great. If you please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'd like to welcome tonight our viewers on the live feed on Facebook this evening. That is being streamed. We'll move on to approval of minutes. We have January 24th, council meeting, March 20th, special council meeting, March 21st, committee of the whole meeting, and March 28th, council meeting. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the minutes from the January 24th council meeting, March 20th special council meeting, March 21st committee of the whole meeting, and March 28th council meeting.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from January 24th council meeting, March 20th special council meeting, March 21st committee of the whole meeting, and March 28th council meeting. Council discussion. Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Phillips?
Aye.
Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Thank you. Next up is approval of the biweekly claims. Claim number 14814 and 15081 through 15109 in the amount of $41,910.34. Ms. Holcomb?
I move to approve claims 14814, 15081 through 15109 in the amount of $41,910.34.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Phillips, to approve the biweekly claims. Council discussion. Ms. Barker?
On the Visa, claim number 15097, we have two of them on there for snow removal meals. After looking back on what department those were coming out of, roads and streets, it was operating supplies. George had budgeted for garbage bags out of that, so why are we taking snow removal meals out of there? And now that account is in a negative $224.43.
That account covers more than just garbage bags. It covers any other operating supplies that are needed in the roads and streets department. The snow removal meals obviously weren't something that we anticipated, but because we had staff here over the dinner time hour and they weren't able to take their dinner break, we furnished a meal for them.
Okay. I also had a question on the Bobcat rental on claim number 15109. We have a Bobcat. Why are we renting a Bobcat?
The temperature was too cold to operate our Bobcat. Our Bobcat does not have a heater, nor is it enclosed cab. And we needed to operate a Bobcat when the weather was very cold. And they were out there for extended hours. So we rented a piece of equipment to accommodate that. Any further questions from council? Okay. Public comment. Mr. Motley.
Does that pretty much cover the snow removal expenses as well?
No, those have been paid already.
Okay.
All right. If there's no further public comment or council discussion, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Great. Administrative reports is next on the agenda. We have Mr. Obagi here for an airport report.
My name is Paul Obagi. I'm one of the volunteer airport managers up at the Stevensville Airport. The biggest thing I can say at this point in time, the Stevensville Airport, as did most airports, things don't go very fast. If you have one or two hangars built every year, that's very, very fast. We haven't had a hangar built in a couple of years. In the last 4 months, I have filled in more calls for people looking for hangars to rent or hangars to build than all the time I've been up there. We've got one person that's already purchased a spot to build a 75 by 56 hangar. We've got another person that came into my office today, sat with me for an hour, came right down to the FBI council office here to purchase another spot to build another hangar. I've got two other people that have asked me to send them plats for the airport to build other hangars. What this means for the town of Stephenville is that this increases the tax base tremendously. And since we've been annexed into the Stephenville area, which happened about 7 years ago, now all this tax money comes into the town of Stephenville, which is a tremendous boon. I could also tell you that I spent some time with Morris and Merrily, our engineers. There is a lot of funding coming from the FAA. The first round of funding did not come anywhere near Montana, but we're looking for the second round of funding to come hopefully sometime this summer after this to replace our parking and our taxiways. We are number two from the FAA in the state of Montana, Hamilton being number one. So we're at top of the list to have more infrastructure and more work done. Here again, everybody that has called me and talked to me has already been to Stephenville Airport, if none of you have been up there. Airports are like infrastructure, like golf courses and like swimming pools. And people do come and spend a tremendous amount of money to come and they look at the airport. And I would like everybody to know that there isn't a single person that hasn't seen our airport put together by you that has not praised how nice that airport is. So we in the town of Stephenville should be very, very, very proud of it. By the way, all the airport funding is paid for by 5% by the state of Montana, 90% by the U.S. government, the FAA, which is still us, kind of. And the other 5% comes from us at the airport for the money that we spend at the airport for all the infrastructure fees, for all the yearly fees, and for the parking fees, and so on and so forth. That's the biggest thing I can report. I've also talked when I went to Fairmont for a day and at the airport meetings over there. Talked to a real nice gentleman named Bob from the AOPA, Bob Henderson. Gave a nice presentation on airports in the Northwest. He's the Northwest Manager of Airports. Out of the approximately 700 airports in the Northwest region, there are only less than half of those that are FAA certified approved. Stephenville is one of them. Here again, may not mean a lot to most people, but to the Forest Service and the FAA and the town of Stephenville, it should be a tremendous amount. I think it was 2 years ago we had the Forest Service up there that brought in, Mayor, would you say about $200,000?
Fairly.
Give or take. Here again, this is all land owned by the town of Stephenville, and when they come up and use the airport because it's FAA approved, we benefit beyond a tremendous amount of money that we get from the FAA and from the Forest Service. So that's what kind of what's happened. The growth I haven't seen for quite some time. It's just calls and calls and people. There's not a single place up there that's not stuffed with people looking to put an airplane or to build or buy. So it's gratifying.
Any questions from council for Mr. O'Bank?
Would you explain the painting of the Stephenville and elevation?
Oh, sure. There is a non-profit group. I have not been in a hurry to give the information to the mayor because it's not warm enough yet. He said, no hurry, not going to do anything until June. But there are a couple of gals that were over there that I had a nice talk with, and they are more than amenable and willing and want to come up to the town of Stephenville at the airport, and they will paint. Here again, it's something that's not big if you don't see it on the ground, but when you fly over it, it says Stephenville Airport and any other information we want to put down on the runway. Just like lettering on the highways, and they do it for free. Mm-hmm. So it's really a nice, nice deal there.
Okay. Anything else from council? Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you coming in.
Oh, thank you.
The building department wasn't able to submit a report for council's meeting, so we'll make sure that that gets to you by other means as soon as it's available. I will move on to the finance report. Ms. Van Tassel.
Evening. I wanted to open my report with some updates from our utility billing clerk. She wanted me to pass along that we currently have two properties that have been repossessed. And unfortunately, the finance companies are not paying those utility bills. However, once the property is sold, we will collect, because Denise has a real good relationship with all of the title companies, and they know to notify her when a property sells, and she gives them the balance, and then we get our money. So that's a part of the explanation for why you'll see that total due has increased, and it's because of those two, not entirely, but partly due to those two properties. We have 22 accounts that have payment plans and 13 accounts that are on budget billing. In March, when the meters were read, there were 32 skipped meters, 36 stopped meters, and 37 leaks, which I'm assuming will draw out some explanation for. I also have a little bit of an update on the airport. All leases have now been paid in full. This is something that Denise has been working really hard on, getting everything caught up. They're either paid in full or on a payment plan. However, renewal notices for the next fiscal year will be going out in July, and I'll start all over again. There, as you have seen on your agenda, there are two new leases for your approval this evening, and there are two more leases that are pending final paperwork, so we expect to see those come through next month or so. There are three users and two tie-downs that are still unpaid, and Denise continues to work those. The 2019 business licenses, as of when I printed this on April 4th, 74% of the business license renewals have been received. I did send out reminder notices to those businesses who have historically had business licenses. A handful have come in, and I have been starting to get some notice that some of the businesses are no longer operating, which is good information that I can stop bothering them, because I assume that if they've had business licenses in the past, that they're still operating. My fear is that we may have some businesses that are operating without licenses, but I don't have the time to go around. I'm assuming that everybody's honest and will come in when they are doing business, but I don't know that for a fact. We need to work on that, I guess. And then the last thing is, we did, after those bills were paid for the snow removal, I did transfer the money from, release the restrictions and transfer the money from the restricted cash account to the operating cash to cover those payments, and we are authorized by MCU to do so.
Okay. Are there any questions for April? Ms. Holcomb.
So, what happened to the operating line item in the gas tax? I know when Council Member Barker asked, because it took that line item negative when we paid those debt fund. But then we come back to this month, and that line item is gone. What happened to it?
That's because of that transfer that I did. I released the restrictions, because you'll see that the restricted amount is less, because I moved it from restricted to operating to cover those expenditures.
Okay, and are we doing a budget amendment on this?
We don't need to. We have a spending authority.
According to our expenditure control policy, it says line item expenditures anticipated to be in the excess of the fund budget required approval through the budget amendment process. Requests shall be made to the town council to change the budget by requesting a budget increase due into in expenditures using a budget amendment. All resolutions adjusted to the budget shall be submitted to the financial officer for appropriate documentation. This is in our own policy.
I understand that, ma'am, but we did not exceed our appropriations.
But we did go negative.
No, that's your cash. That's got nothing to do with it. That's not the appropriations. We appropriated $70,000. We had the spending authority for $70,000. We only spent $27,000. So we don't need a budget amendment. We have the authority to spend that money.
If we were to exceed the $70,000, then we'd obviously need to come to the council for that authority. And I think even still, cash apportionment, you know, if we, there's $70,000 of spending authority in that fund, and there's $93,000 left in cash.
So where do we get the $70 of spending authority?
It was in the budget. You passed it in the budget. If you look at the expenditure budget versus actual report, you'll see that we had spending authority. It's 70,000 something. But if you look at those budget versus actual reports, that's where you'll see what we budgeted for and what we spent and what's left.
So where it says transfer of funds in our own our code of ordinance, that no money must be transferred from one municipal fund to another except by ordinance or resolution of the council. That doesn't...
We didn't transfer between funds. We transferred it within the gas tax fund.
So, and this is the fund, page 19 of 33 in the expenditure reports. We had $70,588 of appropriation. And remaining of that to date is $43,000 since we paid $26,775 out. We have $43,813 remaining in that fund. There's $93,000 in cash.
Okay.
And it's all contained within Fund 2820. Any further questions for April? Okay. Next report is Fire Department, Chief Motley.
So you do have an administrative report in your packet. You can see the calls for service on the 51 in March, 17 in the town, 32 within the district. We had 44 of those were medical responses, two mutual aids. Medical accidents were two. Calls year to date is 152, 65 town, 83 in the district. Medical responses were 122, mutual aid four. So those are kind of the stats on that, on what we've been doing. We are getting ready to move forward with replacing the lighting in the meeting room upstairs. We went out and got three different bids for doing that project, which was funded through Fund 4000, 420, 421, 930 through last year's budgeting process. That project is going to come in at a little under $5,000. It's $4,930 for the project. Project is replacing all of the inefficient old fluorescent tube lighting that is upstairs. That's some work, some don't, the majority are out, with energy efficient LED lighting, and get that all done and cleaned up. Get into recessed panels versus hanging down like the ones that are there now. And then when we get that project all done, we will be able to submit that project and paperwork back to Northwest Energy, and we'll be eligible for a rebate refund off of that program. Not sure what that amount will be, but there is some dollars out there that we'll be able to take advantage of. And not only that, but we will see a cost savings of energy use, you know, over time, because we're going to have a much more efficient lamp than we currently are running up there. So we have that going on. We are still in the midst of Firefighter 1 group class, and as things dry out, it's way drier out there than a lot of people really realize or think. Last week we had three control burns go out of control, so the fence post burning season is here. I know it seems like it's winter, but it's not. And it is way drier than a lot of people think. As everybody's probably noticed, the river's come up. There's a lot of use and traffic on that river. I would hope that it starts to curtail off, because it's just going to get pretty scary and falling as the water continues to go on. Mm-hmm. So we have that going on. Other than that, we're just kind of keeping on doing business as usual. We had a fairly busy day today. I think we had five requests for service today. Any questions?
Questions for the chief?
As we've already talked, I did send you guys an email to get together and visit, so we'll get that taken care of and done in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And be ready to go forward, so.
Very good. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Call me if you have a question.
Police, Chief Marble.
Okay. We did have our Catholic Cop in March. It was well attended. The Stevensville High School Key Club was there as guests. And I don't know if anybody saw that on Facebook with the information that they put out, but I didn't realize, and my daughter's on the Key Club, how much they actually did. So for our community, it's pretty awesome. Matter of fact, they are also donating their time, quite a few of them, to help set up for Trooper Palmer's benefit in Missoula that's coming up. And they're going to help decorate and do other things like that. So great group of kids. We're happy to have them. We look forward to having them back again. Calls for service for March were 59. And just to throw out a little bit more information that isn't on the report, we are finishing up with a few policy things with the SRO, and he will be, we'll do a final evaluation before he goes off of field training, but his field training is nearly complete. And we did hire, as you all know, you were all invited, and I appreciate those that were able to attend the swearing in of our newest officer, Tommy Teniente. Teniente, sorry, getting his name right. So he's starting out, veteran officer, 20 years from Texas, lateral entry, lateral transfer, going to be doing some great things. He already has done some pretty impressive stuff, so I'm really looking forward to working with him. We also, since we've implemented the fingerprinting, Janelle has been doing all of the fingerprints for people that come in, not only for court, but also for background checks for various jobs and whatnot. And we do charge for that service, so that's definitely a good funding stream that we have at our disposal. 52 print cards, actually, since July 1st, so thank you, Janelle, for doing that. Just wanted to throw out there one more time, keep an eye on Facebook and just other media sources. There are fundraising efforts in place for the victims of the shooting in Missoula, not only Trooper Palmer, but the other victims as well in the Stevensville area and in Missoula. So, and I know that there are tickets available right now for the benefit for Trooper Palmer in Missoula, and that is going to be May 4th. In Missoula. So if you're interested in attending that silent live auction, there'll be some great things there, obviously for a very worthy cause, as well as the fundraising efforts that are coming up here this month and for the other victims in the Stevensville area. So again, if anybody has any questions about that, how they can get involved, please just contact the police department and fill you in. Any questions?
Any questions for the chief? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Public Works, George.
So you see we produced 15 million gallons of water. We did our monthly sampling, water meter repairs. We're continuously working on those repairs. Some of those that you see that she had showed you have stopped or something like that. Those are some of those are actually meters in the truck. Because you put the computer in the back of the truck and you drive one, it will pick up any meter in your truck. And those will be new ones that would be stopped. So all the numbers aren't total correct on that. But and some of those are the snowbird people that haven't come back yet and the meters are stopped for that reason. There's no usage. We have one frozen water line, which after we got there and got everything hooked up, 15 minutes later, they had water. So that was a good, but it took us a long time because of the depth of the snow to find curb valves. So water in the basement on Pine Street, I got called one night, it was about 10 o'clock, and they thought it was our service line into the basement. It was not, it was the melting snow. I actually was able to pound in a rag around the line and seal it up, and I helped the man set up some pumps. And the next day we started pumping along Pine Street because the culvert pipe was full of rocks and frozen. We finally got that broke loose, not with our truck because our truck wasn't powerful enough to break the ice and rocks. We brought in Nash Company and they were able to open up that culvert, get the water going. Then we also had a frozen line at the sewer plant so we couldn't press our sludge until that thawed. It thawed within a couple days. We continued to haul a lot of snow. We finished hauling the snow out of the parking lot in the park, and we were going to get the street sweeper out and start sweeping. We're going to sweep the park first because they want to start doing their motorcycle tests that DMV does. and that culvert was on Pine Street that we did. We hired a new employee called Garrett Bohr. Bone is his last name, not the spelling error. He's been working with us since, you know, March, and he's been doing a very good job. Another thing we did a test on our reservoir. We are leaking about 95 gallons a minute out of the reservoir. So that's where you're seeing your water loss, for the majority of the water loss is out of the reservoir. So it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. Funding will be easier to get for repairs, from what I understand with the engineer on that. Today we shut the water main down there at Tad Lang Park. There's a shutoff there and at 6th Street so they could do the fire flow line to Kodiak Jacks, and we cut in a T for that line. So we scheduled it for 2 hours, we were done in less than an hour, had the water back in service. And we got the new pickup for the Public Works Department a couple weeks ago. Any questions?
Any questions for George?
On the repair of the reservoir, do you have a timetable on that?
No. Okay. We just kind of figured out the, and I've contacted and talked with the engineers. And so not exactly sure where it's at. There's a couple ways we can help search for it. We can hire a company that comes in with a little submersible, and they'll swim around and they will use a dye, and they'll look at either where there's cracks or like there's a drain valve in that tank, and we kind of think it's the drain valve in that tank. I put a pipe, a wrench on it, and I cannot turn it, and I'm not going to try and open it. So that might be where it's at.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
I know that the weather isn't permitting yet, but do you know when you may be starting to fix some of these
potholes? Well, I'm pretty sure the hot plant is about ready to open. I don't know for sure. And then the weather is another part of it. We can't have all this rain and stuff. So,
right.
And I know we got some really good breakups on Spring Street, especially the north end.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3/4 of that street is about shot. So we've got candles on it. But as soon as we can, we will get on this.
Have you been on the other side of Spring? That's coming up pretty
but
good,
it's,
too.
It's
yeah.
Not as, yeah, it's just as bad.
I don't know how it is everywhere else, but
that's one of the streets that we're hoping to repave in the near future.
Our hope is, while we talked about phasing 3rd Street and focusing our efforts on 3rd, where our focus is somewhat shifted onto Spring because of the way it weathered. So that will become more of a priority, and we would like to see some work on that sooner rather than later. So, okay. Move on to, I don't think we believe have any guests that would like, are there any guests that would like to be recognized tonight? Do we have any on the agenda? Okay. Correspondence. We just have one item of correspondence that was passed along from Heather Thurs. It states, thank you for keeping Stevensville open for business during the recent historic snowstorm. At the bed and breakfast, we had numerous out-of-town guests scheduled to visit Stevensville during that time. We are happy to report that all of our guests kept their reservations during the week of the storm. Some of our guests were here for medical treatment. Others were visiting families in Stevensville. It was great to see how the community rallied together to keep Stevensville open for business. Our guests were able to go out to dinner at the local restaurants, continue shopping at local stores, and continue their medical care. Although our business is located off the beaten path of Main Street, our road was kept plowed enough for emergency crews and our own vehicles to access the B&B. In the peak of the storm, when our elderly guests were recuperating from medical procedures, I was able to access local stores and restaurants safely on their behalf. All of our guests were able to arrive and departure Stevensville to and from MSO safely during the entire storm. As a small business, we depend on every dollar that comes in, especially during the off-season. Please accept our gratitude and congratulations on a job well done during the extreme circumstances. We couldn't have stayed open without the support of the town. Best regards, Heather. Heather Thurs with Bitter River Bed and Breakfast, LLC, 501 South Avenue. We'll move on to public comment. Public comment is an opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. If you'd like to make public comment at this time or later in the meeting, please step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and be sure to sign the sign-in sheet by the door. Is there any public comment? Jeff Molly.
I'm Jeff Molly, 59th Street, Fire Chief. Just real quickly, we do have sand and sandbags still available to do meetings. So you can contact through the office here, fire department, or the fire district either way, but we do have those available.
Any further public comment? Okay. Move on to, we don't have any unfinished business tonight, so we'll move on to new business. Discussion decision to approve the Stevensville Airport land lease for lot number 5, block 5. The information for the lease is in your council packet. The airport board met on this on April 9th, Tuesday, and approved the lease as well. Mr. Phillips.
I move to approve Stevensville Airport land lease lot number 5, block number 5.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Phillips and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve Stevensville Airport land lease, Lot 5, Block 5. Discussion from Council. Okay. Public comment. All right, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Great, passes unanimously. Next item is new business item B, discussion decision regarding employee health care benefits for fiscal year 2020. April, do you want to present?
Received our notification from MMIA of what our health insurance premiums will be for the coming fiscal year. It's the increase, it rises and falls, and unfortunately this year is a rise. They are saying that the health insurance premiums will increase 8%. Vision and dental have been stable, no increases whatsoever for the last 3 or 4 years, so that's a good thing. We do currently offer 4 different plans for employees to choose from. They can choose the high deductible health plan or 3 standard plans, as well as a vision and dental. For this fiscal year, the town has been contributing $557.47 toward the employee's health insurance plan for the premium. If they choose to insure their families, that comes completely 100%. Out of their paycheck. Now, if you go to the next slide. No more? Oh, okay. Historically, the town has picked up the increase. It still increases the employee's percentage as well, but historically we've kind of put 8% on the town, which this year would mean,
which one do you need?
Oh, I've got it. No, I've got it. It would mean an increase to $602.07 per employee, which is about $45 over last year. However, in reviewing the numbers, we have an alternative for you. If we choose to contribute $594, which is the premium of the, not the high deductible, but the highest deductible plan of the standard deductible, standard plans, the increase would only be $365.30 per month to the town. However, the problem, well, it's not a problem, but it would mean an increase to staff of $644 a month. So you can see that the staff would be asked to absorb a little bit more of the increase this year. And that's based on what the current enrollment is. So anyone who chooses the lower premium plan would have their premiums paid in full, but anyone who opts to choose the higher premium plans would have to pay a little bit more than they are right now. So
I had hoped that we'd have some numbers up there for you to actually look at, but so rather than putting the whole 8% increase on the town, my proposal would be to contribute the amount of the lowest premium plan, and if an employee chooses to elect one of the higher plans, it would be on them to pay that difference in the premium.
This gives them an opportunity, by making this decision now, whichever, you know, if you decide to go with the proposal or otherwise, this gives the employees a chance to make modifications, because their open enrollment period will open in May. And so if they don't feel like they want to carry that extra cost of that plan, they can elect for a different plan that will, that more of the cost will be covered for. Ms. Parker?
So the cut you're talking, the second one would be 336 or 363?
365.30 per month increase, as opposed to
the 500.
602.
Traditionally, I think, and over at least the last 3 or 4 years, we've simply just absorbed, the town has absorbed that increase. And this year, looking at the outlook of the fiscal year 2020 budget, we thought maybe it'd be more fiscally responsible and easier to provide the benefits that we do provide in a long-term fashion, more sustainable, to shift some of that back onto the employees this year. And just cost share instead of absorbing the entire increase. And 8% increase, I think, is one of the higher increases we've seen from MMIA since we've been with them. Yes. But it's still not as bad of an increase as I think some other plans are seeing from other organizations.
Yeah, 2 years ago we had 7.2%, but last year it was 3.6. So like I said, it rises and falls. So hopefully the trend will follow, and next year will be 3-something.
Thanks, April. So the obviously the as stated the recommendation of the administration is to modify the health insurance contribution to employees to $594 rather than absorbing the entire 8% increase. Any further questions?
I wish I had the numbers up there.
Are you looking for these?
Yeah.
I think Audrey's working on getting those pulled up for the screen as well.
So this one that you're proposing?
Actually be the mission plan. Currently there's two employees involved in that plan.
Okay.
So yes, the mission plan is the lowest. Other than the high deductible plan, it's the next cheapest plan to cover. And our current contribution and our current rate structure, based on the insurance, we actually contribute more than what the lowest plan we're proposing to pay for right now. We pay higher than that. So the rate we're paying now falls in between the two cheapest plans and the two most expensive plans. It's kind of the middle. And so right now, if you're on two of the, if you're on the two cheaper plans, you receive a rebate back into your paycheck to go towards the other benefits you cover.
So these are the ones we're covering?
Those are the positions that are covered, yeah.
Okay.
Currently, you know, if they decide to change those would change obviously in May. When they do open enrollment, so there's an opportunity there for employees to make modifications to their plan, add or subtract, and we do that early in the year so that we can plan for that in the budget.
Okay.
But we're basing it off of what we're paying now.
Okay.
assuming no changes are made. You want him back?
No, I want to just see this part. That first part. I just want to make sure I get this.
Would you rather see that one?
Yes, I want to see that one. So,
Ms. Holcomb.
I move to accept the proposed employee health care benefits package for fiscal year 2020.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Phillips. To accept the proposed employee health care benefits package for fiscal year 2020. Council discussion. Ms. Barker.
And just to make sure what that is for the $594, not the $602, correct?
Correct, $594 contribution. And we'd still share in 50% of their vision and dental insurance. Okay. Any further discussion from council or questions? Motion on the floor is to accept the $594 benefit package. Public comment. Chief Motley.
What percentage of the 8% are you covering and the employees are covering? Is it 50% of the increase or that percentage?
I didn't calculate that.
That's the one number we didn't calculate. But the difference between what the $594 and the six. Is that what it is? Sorry. 60207, so yeah. Okay, any further public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Great, motion passes, thank you. Next item is discussion decision to approve a Stevensville Airport land lease for Block 15, Block 1. As Mr. Obagi indicated earlier today, things are moving at the airport, and so we have another land lease agreement before you tonight for Lot 15, Block number 1. Ms. Holcomb.
I move to approve Stevensville's airport land lease for Lot 15, Block 1.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve the Stevensville Airport land lease for Lot 15, Block 1. Council discussion. Mr. Phillips.
I had the opportunity to attend the airport board meeting, and when they're discussing these land leases, they mentioned that there may be a possible change with the FAA, and so we need to be mindful on these leases in the future that there may be some changes coming from the FAA.
The airport board is undertaking lease revision very soon.
So.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Public comment on the motion? All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item is item D, discussion decision to hold a committee of the whole meeting for the purpose of discussing the mayor's employee reorganization plan and its implementation. Based on the committee of the whole meeting that was held on April 4th, it was the suggestion by Mr. Phillips and concurrence of the council that we hold a committee of the whole meeting to allow an opportunity for more fact-finding and research on the issue. And so it was asked that this be placed on the agenda so that you guys could set a date. There are two suggested dates there, keeping with our Thursday meeting theme. However, I think for the most part, most days of the week are open in this room, depending on what's on the calendar. So, Ms. Holcomb.
With everything that I have found, I am going to make a motion that we rescind the mayor's reorganization plan. And the reason for all these duties that you kept telling us that we didn't, we don't approve the job descriptions and their salaries,
Well, according to our Stevensville, Montana Code of Ordinance, the council has the power to fix compensation and to prescribe the duties of all officers and employees of the town. The council shall by ordinance or resolution determine the salaries and compensation of elected and appointed municipal officers and all municipal employees. So all of this that you did was out of protocol. It did not follow our ordinance. It did not follow our policies. So I cannot accept this. So at this time, I am making a motion that we rescind this.
Okay. Your motion's to some degree out of order. The item on the agenda is to hold a committee of the whole meeting for the purpose of discussing the reorganization plan. And so for public's disclosure, what they expect is that you're going to set a date, not rescind an entire plan. Ms. Barker?
I don't see a reason to, if we have found the facts on this, to go to a committee of the whole meeting.
Okay. Does your motion stand?
My motion stands.
Is there a second to the motion? Ms. Barker?
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to rescind the mayor's employee reorganization plan. Further discussion? Mr. Phillips.
No, I'm just concerned because part of the reorganization plan that was talked about has already been implemented. People have been hired. You know, so what do we do in that case?
Ms. Holcomb.
We asked for this to be put on hold until we had a COW meeting, and unfortunately, the mayor continued to make changes, and we did not approve any of these changes because we asked for this to be put on hold until we actually had the COW meeting. So I don't know that.
From legal counsel, he has expressed that if counsel moves forward on rescinding the plan, that he expects there to be legal ramifications for doing so.
So, you know, where do we stand on, you know, what the mayor said, legal? Because some of these individuals in part of that reorganization plan have been hired. You know, so.
Then I think the mayor needs to figure that out because we didn't approve the salaries. We did not approve any of these job descriptions. We did not approve any of these changes. We asked that it be put on hold until we had the COW meeting. This is not on us. This is on the mayor to figure this out. We asked for it to be put on hold, and it wasn't put on hold. It has nothing to do with the new hires. I mean, we didn't even know we had a court clerk that has been working for 4 weeks until a couple days ago. We didn't even know we had a new police officer until we got the email that he was being sworn in. I mean, this is the stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. I'm sorry, I cannot approve this. It was done irrationally, it was done out of ordinance. We have ordinance that we need to follow, we have policies that we need to follow.
I suppose what's troubling is that at one time the council did approve it. You consented to the plan, and then what at least was relayed back to me by the council president was that some folks didn't read the plan in its entirety before consenting to it, and now you'd like to backtrack.
And that was before anybody was hired.
And I moved forward with the plan with the understanding that you had consented to it. So you had consented, I moved forward with the authority that you consented to the plan. And no other decision was made from that point by the council, and so we carried on. I don't think it's necessarily fair to expect the administration to sit on its hands when you approved something, you consented to something, and then pedaled back after doing that. That's not necessarily fair. That's a significant delay in administering the affairs of the organization. Further discussion on the motion to rescind. Ms. Barker.
We were also asked at our COW meeting last week to go home and do our homework on different aspects of it, and we have, and what the job duties are, what the executive can and cannot do, along with the clerk. We have done that. You can't, you don't have the power to set up job descriptions and to set wages of that. That's where I'm going with on my decision tonight on this particular reorganization.
That was all effectively done, though, through the reorganization consent.
We have laws that we have to follow, and at that time, did not realize that those laws, we cannot follow those laws, and you don't have that power.
Again, that was all effectively accomplished through the reorganization plan.
No.
The reorganization plan included changes to job duties, and it included wages for the positions affected, and you consented to that plan. Ms. Holcomb.
Just because the wages were written into that reorganization, you still have to have a budget amendment for those new salaries. You did not do that, and you argued with me last Wednesday about it, saying we didn't have to, but you do because you had a new hire. Those salaries were not budgeted into our budget year. You have to have a budget amendment. I mean, we did one back in... I printed it off. Hopefully I brought it. But we did do a budget of, here it is, Resolution 282, where we did a budget amendment to include wages and training for the new treasurer's position.
The reason that was done was because they were exceeding appropriations.
But we are exceeding the appropriations for two new hires in our budget.
You are not changing the bottom line of the general fund. That's the conversation we just had with the gas tax fund. The motion on the floor is to rescind the mayor's reorganization plan. Further council discussion before I call for public comment. Public comment. Ms. Phillips.
Mark Phillips, and I live on Mission Street. When was it approved that you could go ahead and do the reorganization?
January 10th. Further public comment? Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
Can I say, yes, it was, but then we started really looking at it, and we came back and asked him to hold off on it until we had a Cal meeting to look at it. He decided to go further and just start doing this. I mean, the town clerk declined to have the building official position, and that was approved when we first did it. So, and now we get this thing saying, since then, the town clerk has assumed all duties of the zoning administrator. And then he was doing the GSC was going to be the deputy clerk, but now he changed it to be renamed as administrative assistant. There are ordinances, there are rules, there are policies. We asked him to hold off on this until we had a Cal meeting. He, the mayor, decided to move forward on it, and we did ask that it, and we did ask when we brought it forward to rescind it or put it on hold, was anybody hired or was there any consideration? And we were told no.
Okay, any further discussion or public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. All right, for my executive report, just real quickly, I wanted to do an exercise with you folks, and this segues well into from the conversation we just had about the reorganization plan and where we are with the understanding of where the executive duties lie and how they conduct business. So they're working on pulling something up on the screen real quick.
Which one do you want?
The Word document that we worked on. So there's been some confusion, certainly from the public that we've heard here at City Hall, about the form of government, and folks have asked for a charter and among other things, and there's also been some confusion as to whether the mayor is or isn't an executive, or if he's a figurehead, or he or she, or what have you. So what I did was we went through Montana Code and obviously pulled it into a different format so that we could go through it in a fluid way. This isn't to point fingers or to say who's right or wrong. This is just simply informational so that at least we're all here hearing the same information, and you have some understanding of the framework behind some of my decision-making process. So the form of government that Stevensville operates under is the commission executive form, which we also call the council executive form. Okay, and it consists of an elected commission or council, which is you folks, and an elected executive, who is the mayor. That's myself. We throughout this document, as we scroll through, anything in bold. So when the legislature set up this system for forms of government, they gave sub options for each different section, and you can choose either of those sections in your form of government. However, you're defaulted to one section by default. The state legislature says, here's your automatic. Then anytime you want to change that, you have to do that through a local government study commission, which is done every 10 years. And the voters vote on any changes in here. If it's bolded on this screen, it's the default. If it's highlighted green, it's the way that Stevensville operates based on the research that we did on the local government study commissions we've held, and the elections that have been done. So the nature of our government is general government powers. We do not have self-government powers. Self-government powers would involve having a charter. Stevensville does not have a charter. We operate under general government powers delineated by the state legislature. Section 73203 delineates the duties of the executive or the mayor. And again, these are very broad strokes, but to just touch on a few of those, it administers the affairs of the local government, carries out policies established by the commission, meaning that the commission sets the framework and the policies for the organization to operate within, and the mayor ensures that those are accomplished. Executing bonds, notes, contracts, and obligations of the commission, subject to the approval of the commission. And obviously attending meetings. If we keep going down, I appoint all members of boards, except I may appoint without consent of the commission or council, temporary advisory committees established by my office. Again, the structural sub-options then delineate the plan of government submitted to the electors. And so this is anytime anything in here changes, it needs to go to an election of the people. Folks have to vote on that, and that opportunity is given every 10 years. So in this case, administrative assistance, and the word administrative assistance in this code is referring to folks who are administrative officers of the mayor's office, not necessarily those folks who are acting in an administrative capacity below, you know, a department head, such as the current administrative assistant for the fire department. That's not what they mean here. This is to assist in the supervision and operation of the local government, such as a chief administrative officer or chief operational officer. So the default is subsection 2, and Stevensville allows for subsection 2, and has chosen that as their form of government. Supervision of personnel, the executive may appoint, with the consent of a majority of the commission, all department heads, and remove department heads, and may appoint and remove all other department employees. What this states is that I need a consent of the majority of the commission to appoint department heads and remove the department heads, and I may appoint and remove all other department employees without consent of the council. And that's a sub option, as well as Stevensville's form of government. Veto power, I can veto ordinances and resolutions subject to the override of 2/3 vote of the council. That's a default, and we've chosen to stay that way. In preparing the budget, as we're familiar with, We consult with the commission and department heads in order to pull that budget together. Keep going down. Supervision and control. The executive may exercise control and supervision of all department heads, or excuse me, departments and boards to the degree authorized by ordinance of the commission. So again, this is a place where the council sets an ordinance as to how the organization operate, and we operate within those boundaries. This is a place where we actually chose a separate subsection, and this relates to the finance officer. I don't remember what year we changed. We went through several different studies, 85, 95, and 2005. And in 2005, there were no changes, so I expect this happened in 85, where the financial officer or the treasurer for the town moved from an elected position to an appointed position by the executive with consent of the council. So that's one place where we went to the voters and said we'd like to change this, and the voters agreed. So we differ there. Section of commission members, you are elected by districts in which candidates must reside, which are apportioned by population. That would be your wards. This was a place at one time, I believe in 95, the study commission came back and said, maybe we elect our council members at large throughout the whole community. And that initiative failed by the voters. The voters decided, no, we want to stay with the form of government we have by electing folks by wards. Going down to the type of election, almost there. Local government elections, again, this was a referendum brought to you folks in 1995, where we switched from a partisan basis to a nonpartisan basis. That was a recommendation, and so we did that. And then presiding officer of the commission is selected as provided by ordinance, and that obviously refers it to the mayor's office to preside over the commission, and then goes on to talk about how the presiding officer votes in the commission's dealings or the council's dealings. And that is that I decide tie votes of the commission but have no other vote. And presiding officer of the commission shall preside if the executive is absent. And there were some changes in 2007 to these codes that our government hasn't, or our form of government hasn't necessarily caught up with, since we did not hold a study review back in 2015. So the voters said, we don't need a review. We'll give it another shot in 2025. Terms of commission members shall be elected for overlapping terms of office, meaning that two of you are elected, and then in the following 2 years, another two are elected. We don't have an opportunity to change the entire table in one election. And then, obviously, community councils to advise commissioners may be authorized by ordinance. So this is an option if the council so chose, to create an ordinance advising community councils to share information with council members. You could do so. We don't have anything on the books now, but it's an option available to us. And the term of elected officials does not exceed 4 years, and that's not something we get a choice in. That's just that's what it is when you establish a form of government. So I just wanted to briefly run through that with you during the executive report. I have a number of other operational things I'd like to update you on, but I'd like to get some of that in writing and share that with you as I gather my thoughts for you tomorrow. Also given to you tonight was, and some of you probably already have it, but I just wanted to provide it for reference, was our municipal code as it relates to powers and authority of the mayor and council, and then the memorandum from Mr. City Attorney Brian West regarding powers of the executive and legislative branch. And what he talks in this memo is the general powers concept, and where we can't necessarily exercise the authority of one branch into another based on how structure of our government, even on a federal level, is designed. So if any power or task is delegated to the mayor, it may not be exercised by the council or the body as a whole, and vice versa. If it's delegated to the council, we shouldn't exercise that by the mayor or the staff. So I just wanted to share that with you and give you some food for thought. And if there were any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. But again, that presentation came directly from Montana Code. Hopefully that clears up some things. Town Council comments. Mr. Phillips, excuse me.
You know, as I was doing my research on this, I came to the same conclusion as both council members here, you know, in finding this. I don't know if I'm interpreting the MCA codes right, you know, but it appears that Robin Holcomb and Stacy, you know, are correct in what they're saying. What concerns me is, you know, we went ahead with this and hired these individuals, and, you know, I'm looking at any legal ramifications we may have in the future over this. That's what's concerning to me, what's going to be the outcome, you know, for the town of Stevensville. So, you know, I guess we just have to try to work it out. I was hoping, you know, that we would have a committee of the whole meeting to discuss this a little bit more depth, you know, not come to a screeching halt.
Absolutely.
Apparently that's not the case. One other thing I had is the surveyors have been going up and down Main Street doing some survey work, the state surveyors. I stopped them over here one day, and they said they were surveying Main Street, and they're going to do some upgrading on the ADA sidewalks and tear up Main Street and repave it. And so I just like to bring that forward.
Sure, and council approved a contract for that back in September.
Okay. Yeah. So I just been on that. I wasn't aware of it, and so I thought that was.
It's going to be a big project.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Further council comment? Any board reports? No boards met? All right. Then if there's nothing further to cover, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Motion or means adjourn. Thank you.